Yeah, and this fell on the rebounder. I've been rebounding almost every day. I mean, for 25 years. So it's hard to even quantify, you know, the benefits I've got from that over 25 years every day. You know, how would you know? You know, it's just, but I know it's right. I know it works. I know it's good for me. My little muscles stay muscles, you know, and who knows? And I think, Tony, to your point too, that you're doing something physiologically with things you're taking. So you're just helping your body not to age. There's no reason why your muscles should go anywhere if you're doing what you're doing. They should just stay, right?
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. But again, this is so basic, right? Mm-hmm. And what you're doing is so basic. Sometimes the simplest things will give you the biggest bang.
Yeah.
And you really don't need to, you know, we get into this thing that, okay, X does this, Y does this, Z does this, 1 does this, 2 does this, 3 does this. So we're going to throw the whole enchilada in one mix and so we can get it all.
Right, I understand.
And we've all done this. I've done it too when I was younger. I'll have the red S on my chest, the blue underwear, leap to tall buildings, bullets will bounce off me. I'll be that super, super, super somebody. But then you find out later on as you get more involved and learn more and you get more experience, that sometimes you only need two or three things and that's all you really need. And it does the job well. I find, you know, I'll go to a market, for instance, and I'll buy cream, you know, a pure cream, doesn't have any crap in it, 500 mils, which is about 17 ounces. And I'll drink that whole thing down. Boom. And man, I'm pumped up. I'm good. And I can go hours, literally hours. And I don't crave anything. I don't have any drops in sugar. My muscles are filled up, my energy levels are off the map, and I seem to have a ton of endurance because I found that when we were younger, we were told, don't eat any fat. Fat will kill you. Fat is going to cause cholesterol. Fat is going to, you know, blah, blah, blah. We need fat like there's no tomorrow, and we need saturated fats like there's no tomorrow, you know. And I find that, you know, just by something as simple as a saturated fat, on its own. Now, if you want to add an antioxidant to it, like say you want to add CQ10 to it or BHT or essential oil of rosemary to it, you know, to slow down any oxidation that may occur, knock yourself out. You can mix this with just about anything as well. And again, just on its own, I love the taste of cream. I could drink that like no tomorrow.
Yeah. You know? Do you have access? Can you get the raw? Can you get the raw?
Yeah, I can get real cow cream, and it's
wow, that's great.
And I got sheep cream, which I even prefer more.
Oh, you can get sheep cream. I've never had that. Wow.
When I was up in Alberta, there was a health food store that actually had a sheep cream. Hmm. They actually had it in a tube because it was so thick. It was like a toothpaste. I would just squeeze that out and just consume it straight out of the tube, and then I'd go home and have a shot of brandy because it was bloody cold there. But I'll tell you, when I did those two things in my iodine, I was just basically a furnace, an inferno.
You guys up in Canada, they sell the raw cream at the store?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Arizona, you can buy a raw cream there. The health store I was going to, you could also buy unpasteurized milk there. Not every state has that.
I know California, Arizona, Texas, they don't. Well, so we just got to get, you know, the farmer's market things. Yeah, it's cool.
Fat cream has such health benefits as well. And again, it's been so demonized. Yeah. If you mix that to colostrum, man, what an impact you get just mixing those two alone. If you add a little iodine with the cream, what an impact you get with just those two things alone. Like I said, sometimes the most basic things you can take has some of the most potent effects and long-term effect too.
I agree. Boy, sometimes 2-3 in the morning, I'll wake up and really hungry, you know, and I'll take an ounce of this grass-fed raw cream and a tablespoon of colostrum, mix that up and drink that. Huh. It's like just having that you just nursed for 4 hours, right? Your body is like, okay, let's go back and go to Gaga land again. It's pretty amazing how wonderful that feels. Yeah.
Sometimes you don't feel like eating something at all. You need something just to get you by.
Yeah, just
to. And I do the same thing. We did a video where we showed you how to make the double cream, and I add the copper, and I add, because it's basically I'm making a liposome, but I'm using cream to do it. And you add your vanilla to it if you want, or you add your glycerol to it to give it sweetens the taste. Basically, it's ice cream without the ice. So every so often, I don't feel like really eating, or I don't want to really eat something. I just need something I don't want to really binge or snack on anything. So I'll take, like you say, a tablespoon of that, And man, I'm good for another 5 or 6 hours. And then by that time, I'm ready to eat a meal and I'm good to go. And like I said, you maintain your alert levels. Your body metabolic rate increases. You can feel your body temperature go up. You find yourself, you may even lean out. You find your muscles get more pumped. I mentioned that with bodybuilders, for instance, who are training, you know, if you're using the colostrum and the whey and whatever you're using to make this concoction, you can add whatever you want to it. You can add your colostrum to it. You can add creatine to it, whatever you want to add to it. And, you know, I tell people to add your like zinc, copper, or zinc manganese with it so you get the SOD effect. And anyway, when you do this with a protein, you find after you get done training for a period of time, a short period of time, body parts that may be reluctant in growing and changing all of a sudden are responding. And we had feedback on that where a guy actually did that, and he had his calves that were very lagging, and he got on that mixing with a whey mixture as well, and within 2 weeks, everyone actually thought he was actually using anabolic steroids because of the way he filled out with this. So it has a very powerful. So again, you're regulating the chemistry, you're keeping the cholesterol levels healthy, you're keeping the cholesterol levels high like they should be. Mm-hmm. You're supporting the brain, you're supporting the heart, you're supporting the organs. It's a win-win no matter. And again, I don't need to be taking a ton of stuff to do this now, just something simple. Now, if I want to add CQ10 to it, if I want to add vitamin A to it, which you're finding now, that without vitamin A, you cannot manufacture stem cells correctly. Vitamin A is a key player in stem cell production. So again, these are simple. You can add vitamin E to it. You know, you can add your iodine. You can add your mineral content to it. Again, it'll slowly release these things. It'll get them into the liver. If you whip it up, you make a liposome, which again can be very tasty and very good. For instance, let's say you're eating meat, okay, and you've had meat that was charred. Well, we know the nitrosomes can cause problems in the gut system. So what neutralizes that? Something simple as chlorophyll will neutralize the nitrosomes in the system after you've eaten meat and by about 95-97%. Vitamin C will do the same thing. So let's say you want to mix something up like that and add the copper or chlorophyll and vitamin C with it. Now, if you eat something that has been overcooked, there you go. You've got the antidote right there.
Hmm. There's so, a fellow, again, Tony, at the farmer's market here in Dripping Springs, if you can believe it, that he has pig lard and as much as possible, the nature-fed kind of pigs, you know, out loose. But when he does feed them, there's no GMOs, there's no corn, there's no soy. It's amazing what this guy is doing. And I mix these with some beans, you know, organic beans, and cook them up. Oh, boy, if you don't think that doesn't feel good for my little body, oh, my goodness.
Saturated
fats are just like, whoa. You know, there's something pretty powerful with them for me anyway.
Well, they support our immune system hugely. Do and they? Again, especially, huge, and they support the lungs. So like I said, when they've done edema, and then people contact me, well, what about my cholesterol? Well, where is it? I said, it's too low. What the doctor's saying is too high. He says, the doctor's FOS. I said, you're too low.
Too low. Know? Get it up there, man.
Get it up there. You got to get them up higher, you know.
I agree.
Fat, acids, you know, eventually I'll have a compilation of the acids, and I'll send you a copy of acids that our bodies have that regulate, that actually not propionic acid, we mentioned it earlier, and butyric acid actually kill cancers. Now, if we're going by the health food theme, you know, about being acidic and blah, 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 you know, these acids, you know, acids can cause cancer. Well, so can being too alkaline can cause cancer. But these acids actually kill cancer. Lactic acid kills cancer. Retinic acid kills cancer. These are acids. You know, we're going to go back to the old 60s. We're going to do some acid, man, so that we can get healthy.
Do some acid. Lexi writes in, can you ask Tony if he's familiar with using ornithine or ornithate, an amino acid, to chelate ammonia from the body?
It should. So will arginine. If you want to make your own ornithine, if you combine arginine with manganese, it converts arginine into ornithine. Ornithine is not a cheap amino acid to buy, because I was thinking about getting that, because I remember that from the old days, how they were using that for healing factors, because a lot of the damage that the nano can do to your system. But then I realized that if you combine arginine with manganese, it actually converts it to ornithine. Citrulline has been so overhyped, and it's such a has such a nominal effect that it's not even funny how they have promoted this one and have overlooked arginine and ornithine. And those are the big ones that you should be looking at, because arginine converts to citrulline anyway. If you got too much arginine in the body, it eventually goes into citrulline. And when you the body gets depleted of arginine, the citrulline converts it back to arginine. So they are players, and they're part of the Krebs cycle. But arginine plus manganese, and this is where I combine the zinc, manganese, and arginine together so I can get that effect. I get the SOD effect, and I get the ornithine effect as well.
Dallas wants to know what these chicken kind of skin, red bumps on the back of the arms, what's that telling them? What's going on?
It's got aliens inside of me.
Aliens, mouth-breathing Anunnaki, Dallas. I would just end it all, and you'll be fine. No, I'm just kidding.
Just quit breathing. Just quit breathing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. No bumps in the back of your arms, you know, up there in your muscle area is a sign of good health, and the bumps mean something, but I choose to remember exactly what that means. I've known that for years, but I forgot.
It depends what it is. It could be just a simple rash from soap from left in, over in his clothing. It could be something just that simple. I mean, it bumps. I mean, sometimes you have toxins that come out of the body in a certain area, and that's all it is sometimes. Sometimes it could be a form of acne. Maybe you're taking some kind of hormones or exposed to some kind of hormones. It could be anything. I mean, something as simple as zinc and copper can clear that up by taking it up. Something as simple as an enzyme can clear it up. Even if you do the salt pack that we just showed you how to do on the YouTube, will clear that up. So it could be anything. You know, it could be. There's not enough there to give you anything specific.
When you do that salt pack, don't forget.
Yeah.
Don't forget to tie up that sock or whatever you're going to do so it doesn't fall where you don't want it to fall. Because I have a story that'll curl your hair. You know, I told you that story. Wow. That wasn't good.
Make sure you pat it on your hand before you apply it to a body part. This way you know that you're not going to burn yourself to blows.
Oh, see, what I did is I put it in a sock, right? And so I turned the sock a certain way, and it all slipped out the end and fell down to my nether regions. And I want to tell you, it was not a pretty sight. But, you know.
You detoxed pretty quick.
I did. Boy, did I scream. Holy. What was that, 2 or 3 years ago, Tony did that? Oh, my God. Tony, let's see. Tony smashes all grains. Smashes, I guess, is your way of saying don't eat them. But he has a detox using oatmeal. So is oatmeal okay in this case?
Okay, we also have on that video little boxes indented in the box. You should read the information on the video. Basically, we said at the time when we did this, we weren't aware of the glyphosate issue on these grains. So I tell everybody not to use them. And we didn't take the video down. We just basically put in a little addendum, and they're saying that and explaining that at the time when we did these videos, we weren't aware of the contamination in these grains like they are today. So we don't encourage using the grains. I know people, you know, this is the craziest thing, Patrick. I got to say this. When you tell somebody not to eat something like this, they fight you tooth and nail over it. And then you ask yourself, why are you so adamant about eating this food? All the foods that we have out there today, the variety of things that you can eat, you want to eat this stuff knowing full well and showing you the research, showing the references, showing you everything, and then even when you look at the glyphosate references and again, the what we call the fake organics, you still want to eat this stuff. It just sometimes staggers my mind that somebody would want to put something this vile in your mouth. But anyway.
You know, Tony, I think that it's an addiction. You know what I mean? I think that grains are kind of like, it's just like being an alcoholic. You get addicted to grains.
Oh, I agree with you.
Agree?
No question about it. When I got off the grains myself, okay, like I said, it took me 4 attempts to get off it. You know, by the 4th month, I said, I'm done with this. But the next 6 or 7 months, the psychological fight I had to, you know, all of a sudden, you know how you get an urge to eat something and you had to get an urge to eat, you know, maybe a pizza or a toast or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to say no to yourself. After about 5 or 6 minutes of saying no, the urge goes away. And then the level of the buildup in the system diminishes. And then you go into a bake, you go into a grocery store and they got a bakery and they're baking bread. Yeah, and all of a sudden you have to salivate. You know you're addicted when you start salivating and you're made a puddle on the floor kind of thing.
And just think about alcoholics. I mean, beer, whiskey, all this stuff are all made from grains. And it's a blood sugar thing as just as well as an emotional, spiritual addiction.
Well, I think the addiction ties to the glyphosates and the way they are, the way the grain has been genetically altered. And that's where I see that the addiction part becomes. But, you know, these things are not, and I keep telling everybody, well, I told you about the Green Show. I had a vegan come up to me and ask me, you know, we're talking about the nano, we're talking about the chemtrails, we're talking about all this stuff penetrates and permeates all our food supply and blah, blah, blah. And I got into it. So I said, and then we talked about saturated fats. Earlier, I told him, you're going to need saturated fats. So I said, you're going to need, you know, lard, you're going to need tallow, you're going to need lanolin, you're going to need cream, you're going to need butter, you're going to need ghee, you're going to need MCT oil, coconut oil, you know, cocoa butter. And I gave him a list. He says, well, I'm a vegan. I said, then you're going to need tallow, you're going to need lard.
You're going to need, you know. You got to just stop that.
You know, and then I said to him, I had to explain to him, what you did in 1970 may have gotten you by at that time because we weren't exposed to the high levels of exposure we are today. We had a big, huge platform board behind us. So see that stuff up there? I said, that is not, doesn't care if you're vegan, doesn't care if you're raw foodist, doesn't care if you eat meat, doesn't care if you eat vegetables, beans, you know, whatever. It is there penetrating your system, breaking you down on a genetic level. And you need to take the things that are going to protect your body against this or help your body fight against this. So this whole concept of being vegan, vegetarian, raw food, all meat, Atkins diet, macro, whatever the current flow is going today, you need to take things today that is going to help you today, irrespective of what opinions you may have or what ideologies you are following. We are not living in those days where we're not exposed. We're not living in the old ancient times, 2,000 years ago, when I can go and grab a leaf off of a tree and eat it and get everything I needed because we didn't have all the wonderful things we're exposed to today.
Okay, Tony, we got a lot of emails. Let's see if we can get to them so we can get out of here without going into 4 hours. So here I am gonna make it longer, but I think it's important to ask this question. So in your research, what you've seen over the years is that you think that the saturated fats that you've talked about are very, very helpful in protecting the body from a lot of stuff and getting rid of it.
Oh, definitely. I mean, one of the things saturated fats does is it maintains cellular integrity.
Cellular integrity. Okay.
So in other words, your cells don't get destroyed. A lot of these omega-3s, for instance, destroy the cellular integrity.
Like fish oils and stuff?
Fish oils. And again, a lot of these fish oils, again, that are being perpetrated, even the flax oils. The flax oils, again, are highly estrogenic.
Most of them are rancid as well.
Huge. Huge.
Most of them are rancid out there. I mean, probably 95% of them or 99% of them.
99.9,
I know.
When you're telling me that you get a flax oil that's got a 0.0003
then
oxidation.
You're good.
That's excellent. That's not good. That's excellent. See, but again, I personally would not use the flax because of the estrogen. I would use the sesame seed oil. I would use the black seed oil.
Or the pumpkin seed, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And I would use that because I want something that's going to work with my physiology. Now, the saturated fats restore the damage that these omega-3s are doing. And again, this is such a hijack when that came about. And again, it's the same thing. They were targeting saturated fat as the evil when in all reality, it was the benefactor.
Right, of course, That's the whole canola oil thing that happened in the early 90s, you know, it was just... What a scam. Okay, here's Colette, 85-year-old dad, had his prostate removed 1999, recently had a PSA reading of 5. So if there's no prostate, what's the need for a PSA reading, and how can he lower it? So his doctor's saying you got to lower your PSA reading. All right, and wants to start giving him hormone injections. So any suggestions of what dad can do instead?
Get a second doctor.
Yeah, I mean, why... I mean, people have said that the whole PSA thing is a scam anyway, even with a prostate. Why would it even matter with a prostate?
At that age...
Without a prostate, excuse me.
At that age, they find that it doesn't matter anyway, and they're not going to die from a prostate cancer, because majority of people that have died at that age, they usually die from either natural causes or some other causes. The prostate is having that issue primarily because it's not being used. So, and if they've taken it out, okay, I would go get another opinion.
Yeah. Okay, did you go to veterinary school, Tony? Because here's one for you. Okay, good morning, Sunshine. Would the sulfur vinegar B2 be good for my chickens when they get mites?
Definitely. Get them on it. And add the iodine to it, too.
What are mites?
Tiny little bugs that, you know, like
some kind
suckers.
Of little burrow. They burrow in the skin, don't they? Little burrowers. Yeah.
Add iodine with it, too.
Iodine, too. Chickens like iodine, huh?
Well, he's going to have healthier eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I see. If he does all that, I want to eat those eggs.
mm-hmm.
So,
would monoatomic silica be absorbed all by itself?
Monoatomic is another name for nanosilica.
No, it's not, Tony. I'm going to disagree with you here. There's actually good, authentic monoatomic. There's not a lot, but there are some out there that are not nano. So
let's define monoatomic. Okay,
That's monoatomic is about 3 million times smaller than nano.
You're talking colloidal.
No. Yeah. Colloidal is not a particle size.
Yes. Yeah. Well. Okay. What I mean, there's micron, nano, and pico.
No. There's ionic, nano, and monoatomic.
Ionic would be very close to either micron or nano.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And we know that nano is a problem.
Talking monatomic, the term monatomic and angstrom are other terms referring to nano.
Not all of them.
Okay, now. Let me reiterate something to you. When you actually look up the term monatomic and angstrom, it means nano. That's what it actually means.
Yeah, now, but in reality, there are people that are making monoatomic substances that are truly that. Some people.
Patrick, you're not.
I'm hearing you. What you're saying is something in research that says they're all the same. When I'm saying that doesn't mean that everybody who's doing it are doing it incorrectly.
I'm trying to correct you on the terminology. You're not getting it.
Okay.
The term monatomic is synonymous with angstrom, which is synonymous with nano. It means the same thing.
Yeah.
What a lot of them are doing today is they're jumping on the bandwagon, using these terminologies to avoid using nano delivery, because this nano delivery today is the current sales pitch.
I got you. No, I got it. You've said this a million times. What I'm telling you that I know someone in Austin that's doing legitimate monoatomic, he can prove with tests 3 million times smaller than nano, and he suggests that nano is a problem because it is actually too big and gets clogged up in the system and does other weird things.
That's micron. That's what the.
Well,
I would disagree with him, and I would challenge his research.
A guy that's been doing it for a lot of times, and you know, okay, you can disagree with him, but doesn't mean that everybody's doing monatomic, is what you're saying. So don't be so generalization, because you don't know.
I do know.
No, you don't.
I do.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to move on because. Yeah, I don't have time for that. I've had STS and TSP for over a year. I do use it in bath, but I'm just a chicken to do it internally, worried that I want to be able to put back all of the good bacteria, minerals, etc., fast enough. If I feel fine, would it hurt to do this? Okay, so could you tell us what again to take after doing sodium thiosulfate?
All you would need was any kind of bacterial food and high mineral electrolytes. Actually, simple electrolytes will do it. The worried about it, I'm not sure what he's...
Well, they're concerned, Tony, that if they do the STS, then they'll take all the little mineral crickets, guys, the name is cricket, out, and then it's a bad thing. So they're going to make sure that they're not going to get demineralized from doing the STS.
I really don't know any detox that isn't going to somehow touch the good and the bad. You know, even if using EDTA, for instance, EDTA will chelate minerals, but it also chelates metals, but also chelate minerals. So I'm not sure how you can get around it. You just basically put it back in. You got to remember, as you deplete the negative metals out of the body, any input of minerals that are supposed to be there will go back in. And if you're using the bacterium in there, it's going to help, again, deliver those minerals as well through either a chelation form, through chelation, or through the acids in those bacterium. So, again, I don't see what the problem is.
Okay. When I took some B1 to TTEAT, treat. Oh.
Treat.
Okay, folks, right. You got to type good. It's important. Take your time and type. To treat some demyelinization caused from an arthritis drug with a long half-life some years ago. Oh, I woke up with a bad panic attack in the night. Could Tony help me to understand why this happened?
I'm not sure. What did he
okay,
do?
Okay, so here... So he says some demyelinization, Tony, caused from an arthritis drug that had a long half-life some years ago. That makes sense. And he did some B1 to treat this, and he woke up with panic attack. Would B1 cause a panic attack?
Not that I am aware of. I don't know. I mean, unless something else was reacted. I mean, what else did he take?
Well, that's all he's got here.
I can't see B1 doing that. I mean, I have no idea. Did he take anything else? What was he doing? I mean, just B1 on its own won't do that.
It shouldn't do that. It shouldn't cause a panic attack.
No.
You're probably watching a bad movie. I shouldn't kid, because I had one a couple years, 3-4 years ago, and man, it's weird. Have you ever had a panic attack?
No.
Well, I tell you what, it feels like you're going to die. It's not...
I guess if there's a fear
factor. Have you ever had that? No, I mean, it's just like this feeling that you're just going to die.
Oh.
Really bad. I had one in the middle of the night, 4 years ago? And I went immediately to the emergency room because I thought I was having a heart attack, right? So they give me all these tests and they go, oh, you're fine, go home. And that was it.
Yeah,
it was just pretty strange. Yeah, pretty strange. But I figured out how to get rid of it pretty quick, and I only had a couple. But they're not fun. So I know people that have had them for their whole life, and it's.
I don't know. I really don't know what would have caused that. I mean, I can't see B1 doing it unless whatever form of B1 he took may have had an excipient or something mixed with it. Mm-hmm. That may have been the problem, but B1 on its own, I've never had anybody. No.
Okay.
So I don't know what product he bought. And again, I would check the product, make sure you don't have microcrystalline cellulose in it, titanium dioxide, artificial natural flavoring agents, or any kind of word that ends with OSE at the end of it. And again, the excipients may have been what have caused it. Again, I'm not sure because I can't picture B1 doing this. So I have to think it's got to be something else. Are you taking any other kind of drugs, any other kind of medicants?
Is he on the right track doing a B1, Tony, for damage to the myelin sheaths?
He should be using taurine, and he should be using cartilage, and he should be using wheat germ oil, saturated fat. Those would be the ways to repair the myelin. Now, why he went with B1, I'm not sure. Unless he was trying to pull, maybe if there was a lead metabolite or some kind of regulating the sugar in the system, or separating the glycation. Again, I don't know. I don't know why he's doing it. Why he went that route.
We've got a pretty cool product in our store we just put in, and it's got some non-drugged chicken cartilage in there and a couple other cool things. And I just put it in because I know a fellow that's been taking it for 3 or 4 years, and I think he's like 55 revs, and his face looks like he's about 20 revs. And so, how do you do it? What's going on with that? And he's been doing this BioCell thing, and it's evidently very interesting. And so you might want to try that. It's got chicken cartilage from non-drugged chickens. Hi, Patrick. I have a question for Tony. My wife fell while walking the dogs, and her foot became swollen. X-rays didn't reveal any breaks or fractures. However, after months, she still, well, has swelling and discomfort. Is there a treatment Tony might recommend? So X-rays say she's fine, but there's something not right.
Get her on the electrolyte formula. She may have produced a ganglion, may release a calcium deposit in the area, and that can help restore that back. I'd probably get her on that.
Where did she find the electrolyte formula? Is it on
On YouTube. Okay. Yeah, if you go on YouTube, look at the electrolyte formula. You may want to give her as well the pain relief using the turmeric, pineapple, bioflavonoid, cayenne, and the paprika. If she can handle the hot stuff, that will actually increase the, again, stimulate any kind of fibrin breakdown as well as circulation in the area. But those two things should hopefully rectify it. Again, minimize any exposure to any grains, cereals, sugar, even some of these synthetic sweeteners. You may want to, again, avoid like sucralose, aspartame, things of this nature. Make sure she's consuming any kind of propylene glycol either. Again, that can cause problems. So again, that's probably what I would suggest from what you're telling me.
So you want to stay away from anything topical or internal that propylene glycol, is that correct?
Correct.
Just not a good thing. Not a good thing.
No, it's a polymer. It's also based on nanotechnology. And there was I actually stumbled across it. I wasn't even looking for it. I was looking at something else. Hmm. And I found this research on it, what it really is. And if you recall, a lot of the supplements, especially a lot of the extracts, were using ethanol, which is basically vodka or grain alcohol. And then they started switching it over to this, and I thought, this is odd.
Oh, to the propylene glycol. They switched from regular alcohol.
Yeah. You'll find, like in Canada, for instance, I cannot buy a almond extract here where I live that doesn't have propylene glycol. I have to go over to Michigan.
Oh, good.
Get one made with ethanol. So I'll go over there and buy that one because, again, that one works. The stuff here, I won't go near. Anyway, they found that it can cause a polymerization or a coating in the brain and along the spine, causing basically a neurocascading or breakdown of the system. And it's all on a nanoscale as well. So isn't that interesting? Hmm. You know, and it sort of explained a lot why they were substituting this. And then I have, like I said, I had found that a lot of the airplane, the icing agents have this in it, and they were collecting this and then putting that back into the food industry. So I said, oh, isn't that fun? So anyway, something that you might want to avoid as well.
Something you might want to avoid. This is curious. Where is this? I wanted to just mention it. Have you seen the latest nonsense from the FDA blaming 7 deaths on Hyland's homeopathic teething drops?
Yeah.
Ah, I didn't see that. Sold all over, even at Walmart. Funny thing is they're teething just about the same time as the kids are getting vaccinated. Yeah.
Well, like I said, there is an attack on homeopathy, so.
Yeah, I agree. It's amazing. How many people are killed, Tony, I used to know the number, from legal prescription drugs every year?
If I'm not mistaken.
Isn't
it the number one killer in America?
I don't know. Just
It took over the heart.
It's unconscionable what's going on, and then they blame homeopathy on it. It's just, you know, you can't even make that stuff up, Tony. You know, it's just.
Well, they did the same thing. They did the same thing with a lot of the supplements. Look at ephedrine. Ephedrine,
yep,
of all things, they said that it was used for ecstasy production.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who are we kidding here? And the Canadian military actually tested ephedrine. They tested it 4 times the strength than what was being sold in a health food store, and they combined it with 5 times the strength of caffeine that they were selling it at a health food store. And they were amazed at the impact and the positive impact and the positive effect that it had on the soldiers that were being trained. And yet they turned around and blamed this for ecstasy production in the USA. What was the other one? Iodine was another one. You cannot get iodine crystals in the United States unless you go through Amazon or through some chemical companies to be able to order it, because, again, the mythos on it was that it was used in making ecstasy. And I'm thinking to myself, really, who, you know, remember GHB?
Oh, yeah, the date rape thing?
The date rape thing, okay? That was another thing that actually worked for people who had sleep issues. Okay, but because it worked so well, they came up with all this wonderful nonsense about date rape. I'm sure, you know, you can take anything and abuse it, but this will actually work for people who have sleep conditions. And guess what? It's a banned whatever, because, you know, you can't get it. Remember tryptophan?
Yeah.
How long did it take before it came back on the market? And what did they blamed it on a bad batch. It came out of Japan at the time, and at the same time, a new antidepressant drug was being introduced in the market, so they shot down tryptophan. It's a hilarious joke. The FDA is so transparent with some of the stupidity that they do, but people get caught up on, oh, it's dangerous. It ain't really. We've been using it for 100 years. Why did it become dangerous all the time, all of a sudden?
Tony, do you have any suggestions to deal with scar tissue from radiation on my pelvic floor? Pelvic floor? Is that right? From 7 years ago, is also affecting the tendons and quadriceps, piriformis, sacrum, going from my myofascia. So she's got this scar tissue going on.
Go get some cannabis.
Oh, some CBD oil or just a straight old cannabis?
Straight old cannabis.
Yeah.
Make it. You know, it's not hard to make. And apply it on and take it orally.
Cannabis oil, you mean?
Yep. That's probably going to be the best thing that seems to really work for that kind of issue. You may want to do baths as well with borax and baking soda for any possible residual radiation that may still be lingering in the body, which may be impeding your system from healing. But cannabis should work on that.
Does Tony have any magical, miracle recipes for crepe skin? What's crepe skin?
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
I have no idea either. I have to look it up, or they have to send me an email or send me a picture so I can see it.
Maybe they mean like chicken neck thing. I don't know.
Like I said, a lot of times I get people send me pictures of the skin issues they have, and they got some kind of long-winded name for it. And you look at it and you see it's just nano poisoning, but they've given us some kind of title. And then when you tell them that it's nano poisoning, they kind of like, oh my gosh, and they freak. And then again, they will freak a little bit. But then I tell them, just follow the nano solutions and see if that will clear it up. Even a salt pack will clear up a lot of stuff. Sometimes it's just basically a high level of concentration of these particulates that get into the area that just basically are choking out the skin, causing mutations. So send me an email. It would be the best thing.
I'm with Tony about consuming fat. As a kid, we often used to go to my grandparents' house, right, Steve, for Sunday dinner, and ham was usually on the menu. I loved the white gelatinous fat so much, I would always ask my 8 siblings, are you going to eat that? And I got to the point where they passed it around and gave it to me. I consumed that heaping pile of goodness like it was candy. Yep. And fat won't make you fat. I know that much.
Oh, no, you start getting on the high level of creams and stuff. All of a sudden, you find that you don't have necessarily a six pack, but you got a flat back kind of thing. You get really flat real fast.
It's pretty amazing. Can you? Here's a final email. Gloria wants to know if you could do the eggs and gelatin Tony talked about and just do it raw together.
You can.
You think heating it up though does a little bit more, right?
I think you may get an upset stomach from it. I probably would be taking some sort of proteolytic enzyme with it to help break it down, because it is not, when you heat it up like that, again, the proteins are going to absorb the moisture, and you may find it, you're like a sponge. You just absorb it, you know.
Okay.
I mean, you can try it your way, but like I said, expect nausea.
Okay, finally, let's sneak this in. Only got 60 seconds. So why is wheat germ oil that Tony talks about okay to use if we're avoiding all grains? Wasn't the germ removed from the wheat by the boys?
We're talking fat, not the grain again. But a lot of things, everything just about you're eating today is genetically engineered, modified, or contaminated. So basically when you're doing the extractions, a lot of times the extractions are far more pure. You still may get some contamination, but the thing about wheat germ oil, it has something called octocosanol, and it does still work.
And finally, Nancy wants to know what your email is. What's your email?
Independs@yahoo.com, independs@yahoo.com.
Okay, I will forward that to Sharon so she can put on the show page, because it's kind of funny to spell Independs, Independs. Tony, thanks a lot, brother. It's always fun having you here.
All right.
All the best. Stay out of trouble. Under the radar.
Right. So thank you, eh?
Okay. Thank you, eh? Tony Pantelaresco on the second Monday of the month. We almost did 3 hours today. Man, I'm hungry. I don't know about you. Dude and I are going to go out in the sun, get a little food, and then come back up and regroup and work on some stuff. We'll see you all real soon. Thanks for your attention and your ongoing support.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.